Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, good morning. How's everyone doing? Joe Beamer in for David Bellavia the next few days here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Glad to be with you. Beautiful day outside. The sun is shining. Love to see that, especially the 11th day of May. Just in case you're worried, you heard my voice and you think, oh no, does this mean the Tuesday check-in with Lauren Fix will not happen? No, it'll happen. Lauren is joining us at 11, as she does every week with David. So that segment still happening today. So hopefully you won't turn off the radio thinking that's not going to happen. I want to get right into it. It's something Brian talked about the last segment of BMaz and Beamer, and it's something we're going to talk about the first hour here on David Bellavia's program, and that is the vaccine being extended for emergency use for those 12 to 15 years old. I guess 12 and up, we can say now, are approved for the Pfizer vaccine. And that raises a lot of questions. Now, later in the show, we're also going to do something that I love talking about, and that is, why do you care if I got vaccinated as long as you did? That's pretty much been the way I go about things. I've been vaccinated. People I care about, of course, I'll urge them, but I don't think anyone should be forced to get a vaccine. So I don't understand why you care if I have one as long as you have one, because that's my mindset. Being vaccinated, I really don't care if people around me have it or not. That's their decision. But 12 to 15. So starting as early as Thursday, we could see children as young as 12 getting the Pfizer vaccine, the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. And, you know, obviously, a lot of parents a little wary. And I think when you see the COVID-19 risk among most children, is it worth the vaccine? And that's what I'm asking you at 803-0930. Star 930, the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board open at 803-0930. Obviously something difficult for me to talk about because I don't have kids. So I'm going to give my opinion as if I had kids, as if I had a child that was older than 12. And, you know, I think the first things first, if your child has an underlying issue, if your kid could be put in the hospital by COVID-19, then I think that's a different situation. And obviously, as a parent, that's a decision you make. But I'm thinking, you know, 12 to 15, even 12 to 18, right? I mean, 18 and up, that's your decision. You're an adult. But 12 to 17, something that is still experimental. Again, I've gotten the vaccine. I think adults should definitely get the vaccine. But are you more wary giving that vaccine to your child? And I think we're going to probably see a lot of people say yes. And I'm also, if you want to volunteer the information, I also want to know if you've gotten the vaccine, however, your child, you feel your child is safe without the vaccine. So you might, it doesn't necessarily mean you're an anti-vaxxer, which of course everyone will try to put a label on people who don't get the vaccine or don't have their kids get the vaccine. They'll try to put the label of anti-vaxxer. I don't think it means you're an anti-vaxxer. If you've gotten the vaccine, you just don't want your child to have it just yet. Maybe with your child, you want to see the vaccine play out. And you look at the numbers, right? We've done this a lot going back to school. We look at the numbers and how COVID-19 affects children. It doesn't have that same effect. Remember, the reason most people used for closing schools weren't because of children getting sick with COVID-19. It was children bringing home COVID-19. That is why a lot of people, remember Monica Wallace just a few weeks ago said we don't want kids in school getting COVID-19 and bringing it home to their grandparents. So the main reason of school social distancing, yeah, we don't want kids to get sick, obviously, but I think the bigger issue was getting their parents sick. Well, now parents, grandparents vaccinated, do you feel your child also needs that vaccine? And looking at the numbers, looking at the emergency, again, I don't have kids, and it's going to be very difficult for me to give my opinion not having kids, but I would be very cautious. My child, obviously, would be around people who had the vaccine when he or she were around adults. And again, if they're with their friends, you just don't see, I don't think it's as urgent as an adult getting the vaccine to have a child get the vaccine. So I'd like to know your thoughts, 803-0930. Let's start with Charlie in the Falls. Charlie, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Charlie, I'm doing well. What do you think about kids getting the vaccine?
I think it's a really dumb idea. I really do. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with being an anti-vaxxer. If you really knew what was going into those vaccines, sometimes I think it would make you cringe. But I don't think that a kid needs to have the COVID-19 vaccine. They get enough vaccines and crap put in their system.
Charlie, do you have kids?
I do. I have two girls.
All right. You obviously don't have to answer this next question, but do you get other vaccines for your kids?
Due to the fact that I live in New York State, I have no choice under the law.
But you don't feel comfortable with them getting the COVID-19 vaccine?
No, I don't.
Have you gotten the COVID-19 vaccine?
No, I haven't.
Okay. And you have no plans to get it, right?
No, I don't.
All right. Now, let me ask you. If your kids were going to college and SUNY schools said you have to be vaccinated to go to college, can I just assume that SUNY schools would probably be off their list of colleges they'd go to?
Absolutely.
All right, Charlie. See, that's a question I'm going to have a few hours from now, but I'd like to have Charlie's answer since he's on the line. Charlie, thank you so much for the call.
Thank you.
Charlie in the Falls opens up a line for you at 803-0930. On the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. I will not have my 17-year-old get the vaccine until school goes full time. Why now when he is hybrid and not open completely? Family and grandparents are vaccinated. What is the benefit? And I think that's what most people are going to say. What is the benefit of my child who the entire time, and as we learn more about COVID, this hasn't changed. So, you know, COVID's still new, right? We still have to hear that. This is a new virus. We still have to hear that. COVID's still new. But as we learn more and more, the notion that children aren't affected by COVID-19 like adults, like older adults, that's just become more and more of a fact. And we see it with the argument to go back to school. We see it with kids who have been in school. You look down south and you see schools have been open the entire school year. Some of them maskless. And believe me, if there were issues, if there was a big COVID outbreak, don't you think that would be all over the news? I don't know if you've realized, the media has pretty much jumped on every COVID-19 story. So if there were breakouts in Florida, in Georgia, in Texas at schools, that would be, you couldn't turn the news on without seeing that story. It would be the top story. So you're not getting that, you're not having those issues at school. And I know we're not talking about going back to school, but that translates into what is the urgency of a child under the age of 18 getting the vaccine. I would make that same argument with a child going to college. What is the urgency if we go by the numbers? Now, if you have a child with underlying issues, as I said earlier, obviously, that's a decision you have to make, and the vaccine might be right for them. I mean, the whole thing is a decision you have to make. And I'm not giving you my medical opinion. I'm giving you my opinion. I have no medical opinion. I barely got a four-year degree. 803-0930, star 930. Let's go to Buffalo and talk to Sarah. Sarah, good morning.
Hi, Joe. My name is Sarah, and I have three daughters, all under the age of 15. And I have decided not to vaccinate them because future fertility issues have not been proven yet. They haven't been analyzed. They haven't been studied. There's no scientific data to say that this Pfizer vaccine won't interfere with their future fertility. Now, I did myself. I got the vaccine. I was one of the first people who got it, but I'm done having kids. I don't have to worry about future fertility problems. But I want my children to have the best chance that they can have in the future. And if they don't need the vaccine, I am not going to get it for them.
And you don't feel it's urgent at your kids' age now to have the vaccine. Since you're vaccinated, if they brought COVID-19 home, that wouldn't become a big issue, right?
Right. We do have one grandma that floats around. She is vaccinated. So we're no longer worried about her. We have one babysitter who's also elderly. She is indeed vaccinated, so we're no longer worried about her. My three children are in private school. They've been going to school all along, and they've been playing with children for the past year. Outdoors without a mask, indoors with a mask, and they're doing fine.
And Sarah, let me ask, going to school full time, have there been any COVID-19 issues amongst the children in the school?
No, the fear has mostly been that the teachers will get COVID. And every time the school shut down periodically, it was because a teacher got COVID. Kids would be sent home for a week to 10 days, and then they start up again.
And that's why we put teachers as one of the first groups to get vaccinated in New York State. It was supposed to get the schools open. We see how that played out. Sarah, thank you so much for the call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Sarah in Buffalo. And that seems like a very reasonable response, right? She's been vaccinated. The babysitter's been vaccinated. The adults around the children have been vaccinated. Why rush getting your children, who all... research I've seen, everything I've read says, are not at high risk when it comes to COVID. Why rush the vaccine to them? It to me does not seem like a necessity. It doesn't seem to me like there's that urgency. And Sarah's call set that up perfectly. That's the example I was hoping to get, and I'm glad we got it early. Of everyone around the kids are vaccinated. Every high-risk person around children are vaccinated. Teachers have had a chance to get vaccinated since January. So everyone that wants to be vaccinated, that wants to avoid the virus around these children, have been vaccinated. What is the rush to get children, 12 to 15, I'll even say 12 to 21, what's the rush to get them vaccinated? Unless they have an underlying issue. I don't understand it. 803-0930. Steve is in Tonawanda. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, sir. I have a situation I think is kind of interesting. I'm old enough to be your grandfather, okay? And back when I was in school, polio was a big deal. In fact, I went to school with a few kids that had polio. And I guess that was about the time that the polio vaccine came out. And my question, I wonder if there's any people in your audience that were parents back then who were in the same quandary as this. Should I give my kid the polio vaccine or not? I'm just curious.
All right, Steve, that's now let me ask you, did you get the polio vaccine?
I believe so. I think they came around to all the schools and the kids got it.
See, that now with polio, though, I believe that vaccine wasn't emergency use, right? I mean, that was FDA approved before any children got that.
I have no idea.
Well, Steve, we are going to ask that question. We're going to tack that on. I appreciate the phone call.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you. Steve in Tonawanda opening a line for you. If anyone wants to talk about that, polio vaccine, that experience as a kid getting the polio vaccine. We'll take that as well, because I think that's another parallel or combination we can ask here is, if you are if your kids, let me see how I can word this. If you do not want your kids, or you're cautious of your kids getting the COVID-19 vaccine right away, what are other vaccines that your kids do get? And what is it about the COVID-19? Now, obviously, I think the answer will be that it's less than a year old. It was, the studies, it's emergency use. I know that scares people to take it themselves. I just think with children, I don't know why that urgency needs to be there. I mean, we have countries all around the world that can barely get their adults vaccinated. When we have children here now, underlying issues, and I will keep on stressing that, underlying issues, obviously, that is a different situation than what we're talking about this morning. But for most children, when it comes to COVID-19, they are not at high risk. We have a vaccine hesitancy with those above 18. I don't understand not working on that hesitancy before we try to now get 12 to 15-year-olds vaccinated, before we try to get college kids vaccinated. How about the at-risk adults who are hesitant to the vaccine? And this goes back to something I talked about last week with the messaging of the COVID-19 vaccine. They don't want to change that message. No, they just want to get more and more people eligible for the vaccine. Well, wouldn't the thing to make sense first to address those who don't want it and try to get someone else to pass that message along or reword that message instead of, okay, now 12 to 15? Well, how does that help the problem? Because right now the problem isn't children getting COVID-19. The problem is older individuals not getting the vaccine. And again, that is their freedom. That is their choice as an American. But we keep hearing about how that's the problem and that's what's going to keep all these restrictions on. We keep hearing that, but we don't see a change in approach. Now we're just making those who are eligible, we're adding more who are eligible instead of trying to take care of the problem they say we have with vaccine hesitancy. 803-0930, star 930. Let's go to Debbie. Debbie is in Wheatfield. Debbie, good morning.
Yeah, I'd just like to bring up a couple of issues. I'm a grandmother. I wouldn't want any, I'm also a retired nurse. I wouldn't want any of my grandchildren under the age of 21, much like your previous caller, due to, we don't know the results, the long-term effects of this on their reproductive, maybe even on their development. As teenagers, they're not fully developed until we're 25. The risk far outweighs the benefit for that age group. I wouldn't recommend any parent having their daughter or son or any young adult, college age, getting the vaccination. They're a low risk for the virus because we don't know the effect on their reproductive health and even on their own personal development. It's strongly considered. And whoever that doctor was that you, I don't know if it was you or that interview about 40 minutes ago, that topic was never brought up. He did address the long-term effects on any organ for the COVID virus for people that do get it. But he never even addressed it. We don't even know the long-term effects on a child's development or on the reproductive aspect of that for any young adult. I would be very hesitant to get it if I was under 30, and definitely no grandchildren of mine under the age of 18, I would not recommend it.
All right, Debbie in Wheatfield, I appreciate the call. And echoing what Sarah in Buffalo said about, the vaccine, it's new. And again, yes, as adults, most of us have gotten the vaccine. Most of us are getting the vaccine. But I think people are more cautious when it comes to children. Also more cautious when we're talking about a virus that has not proven to be as dangerous to children under 18. I mean, that is just studies. That is just looking at the last year, looking at children that have tested positive for COVID-19 and seeing that the biggest problem is they are carriers and they pass it to someone who is high risk. And that's why the point that I was trying to make, I'm going to continue trying to make this hour, is look, it's not just people who aren't getting the vaccine for themselves. We're talking to people who have been vaccinated, but they're cautious when it comes to their children for a plethora of reasons. And I think that's a very reasonable issue. I think that's a very reasonable approach at the vaccine. Look, I got the vaccine. I'm just a little cautious for my children. I don't see any problem with that. And when you've taken out, when you've addressed the high-risk individuals that the children come in contact with, why the urgency to vaccine the children? Why not take that wait-and-see approach with those who are younger? 803-0930, star 930. Joe Beamer in for David Bellavia. Would love to hear from you on the phones, on the text board, after the news on WBEN. La, 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 la.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Joe Beamer in for David Bellavia here on News Radio 930 WBEN. It's my first time filling in since the lineup change. So this will be the first time I host in the hours of noon and 1. Looking forward to that. Thank you for joining. We've got a lot of good texts here on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. But first, online at WBEN.com, if you have a chance, go there and vote real quick. The Relax Honda of Buffalo, what do you think the majority of parents' response will be to the COVID vaccine being made available to children 12 and over? The results so far, 11% say vaccinate quickly, 44% say wait and see, 45% won't vaccinate. 803-0930, let us know what you think on the text board. First one is a question we asked about the polio vaccine. Message for Beamer. Elvis Presley got polio vaccine on TV in 1956. Interesting to encourage young people to do the same. That would be interesting. You know, if you're trying to get young people to get the COVID-19 vaccine, and again, we can debate if minors should be getting the vaccine this urgent, this quickly, while we still have adults who are hesitant, high-risk adults hesitant, a vaccine that is not, for the most part, does not send children to the hospital, is not fatal to children. Again, there can be those underlying issues, and if you have a child who is high-risk, that is a different situation. But when we have a hesitant population, I think it's interesting to be going after 12 to 17 trying to get the vaccine. But anyway, if that's the message you're trying to get across, having politicians tell you to get the vaccine isn't going to do it. Okay? In 56, it was Elvis Presley doing it. 2021, you want to connect to a younger audience. You want to have a non-politician support the vaccine. Joe Biden's not the answer. Andrew Cuomo, Mark Poloncarz, there's no, you know, no 21-year-old who's hesitant about the vaccine that sees Mark Poloncarz telling the vaccine and running to get vaccinated. I mean, it's so interesting how high these politicians think of themselves. And they think just continuing their same old, tired, worn message is going to change people's minds. It's very interesting to see just how important they think they are. Also on the text board, I am vaccinated, but I think others should have the freedom to choose, as do I. It is wrong to force college students to be vaccinated. I hope that person is listening, because at 12, that's the direction we're going to go to after Lauren Fix. We are going to talk about SUNY schools saying you have to be vaccinated to return on campus. And it goes to the bigger question, the bigger point that I've been making. Why do you care if I'm vaccinated, if you are? I will go to a party if I'm the only vaccinated person. I don't care. I got the vaccine. I really couldn't care less what you do or don't do. If you don't want the vaccine, don't get it. You know the risk. I don't understand SUNY schools saying you have to be vaccinated to come back to school. If everyone that wants the vaccine can get it, what's the big deal? I really don't understand that. That is something we're going to talk about at noon, and that is a nice text we will probably start that segment off with. My friend's daughter, oops, nope, I lost that text. We will get back there, but I lost that text. I was scrolling down too quickly. If we're so worried about adults, why are college kids going to be required but not professors? That's an interesting topic for later in the show. It's just, again, it's so interesting that at 49%, I believe, of this state is vaccinated or at least has a shot. And now we're going to require college students to go get that shot while we have the older population not vaccinated and 12 to 15-year-olds. I just, again, I'm not a parent. And so just like with my medical opinion, my opinion on what parents should do has no backup. There's nothing to back that up. But I just can't see, unless there was that underlying issue, rushing this vaccine to a minor. Especially right now, when most are still in a hybrid format at school, masked up and 6 feet apart if you're in New York State. I just don't get rushing this vaccine. And that goes for college kids as well. I mean, I really think this conversation could be, do you trust your child 12 to 15? I would say 12 to 21, should we really be rushing that younger population to the vaccine? It goes back to the call in the first segment, Sarah in Buffalo, who said, look, everyone around my kids are vaccinated. There's no reason for them to get vaccinated. That is a simple and quick, reasonable point. We've been hearing for a year now how kids are not at high risk for this vaccine, for this virus. How the only reason they're out of school is because we don't want them to bring the virus home to their at-risk parents or at-risk grandparents. Fast forward to May 2021. Hey, your kid, 12 and up, can now get the vaccine. It's just an interesting turn, if you ask me. Let's go to Wilson and talk to Brian. Hey, Brian Wilson, what's up?
Yeah, almost Brian Wilson. You know, I just had a couple thoughts I wanted to share. As a parent and an individual who works in education, I do see the value in having children get vaccinated. And if you're in a room with other, if you yourself are vaccinated, the value in the other, knowing that the other person you're spending 8 hours a day with being vaccinated, because the reality is the vaccine isn't foolproof. It's mostly effective, but the efficacy of it is significantly less if only one of the two people in the room are vaccinated. Whereas if both people are vaccinated, the likelihood of contracting it or transmission alike is minimal. One thing I wanted to say too, I don't mean to talk over you. One thing I wanted to say too is you mentioned the fact that SUNY students are being mandated to get vaccinated. I think I do agree with that idea as well, because when it comes to higher education in particular, you're looking at a population that aren't necessarily all locals. You have students coming in from out of the area to attend college that are going into a confined space with as many as 20 to 50 other students in and out for as many classes as they have together throughout the day. If just one person has it, the possibility of them spreading it is exponential. And these are people that are going in and out. So with higher education, you have students that also have jobs, or they live with their parents, or they live in an apartment. So, I mean, they're not just – the spread isn't limited to the classroom. It's really the community that institution is located in as well. You know, it's like they said all along, if you don't get the vaccine, there comes a point where you're going to be left behind.
Brian, I want to go back to your first point. If there's four people in this room, and I'm the only one that has the vaccine, and someone has COVID-19, you're right. There is a chance that I would get COVID-19. But with the three vaccines in the United States, it is very unlikely, about 99.9%, that I won't end up in the hospital, and 100% that virus would not be fatal. So I understand your point. You could still pass it on. I get that. But also, I think if you have the vaccine, I just think we get to a point where we have to say everyone's had the chance to get the vaccine. Those who get it can get it. And those who don't, they know the risk and can take that risk. But Brian, I do understand your point. I appreciate the phone call. Brian in Wilson opens a line for you. And yes, you're talking about a college where you have kids from all over the country coming. Attending for 4 years, maybe 6 years. I don't know. But we do get to a point where people have that choice. You know, we are in America, and eventually we're going to have to say, you had that choice. You know the risk. And I'm looking at the CDC's website right now, and the vaccine has high efficacy in clinical trials, and that goes with your underlying medical condition, people who are completely healthy, and few people in the clinical trials were admitted to the hospital, none of them fatal, and compared to those who got the saline placebo, it was much higher, obviously, if you didn't have the vaccine. And this is what we keep being told. You know, you get that booster shot. So if you get the 4% chance that you get COVID-19, the symptoms aren't as bad than if you didn't have the vaccine. So I understand Brian's point, and I'm probably being even more confusing, but I think the point is, and what we've been sold on these vaccines with the Johnson & Johnson, the Pfizer, and the Moderna, is if you're vaccinated, your chance of having symptoms that would send you to the hospital, very unlikely, and it's, I believe, 100% against fatal responses to COVID-19. I might be wrong on that. Check it at the break. But if you're vaccinated, it is very unlikely if you get COVID-19, it would be anything more than a mild case of COVID-19. And we are getting those shots to people. Anyone now listening to my voice that's over the age of 12 that wants it can get that. But as I keep saying, as I'm going to keep saying, you are going to get to a point where you have gotten everyone that wants to get vaccinated, and you just have to say, you know the risk. You know, I've done this show before. I'm not gonna do this for 3 hours, but you know the risk. How many things in this country do we let you assume the risk? You know, my one example to go to is smoking. You know the risk of smoking. They tell you the risk right on the pack, but you can still go smoke as many cigarettes as you want today. You might be on your way to the gas station right now buying a pack. We let you do that. You're free to make that decision. I think that same freedom at a point is going to be there with this vaccination. Eventually, you get to the point where you know the risk. No one that lives in this country does not know the risk of COVID-19. when everyone that has been vaccinated wants to get vaccinated, that's the message. And you know what? Yeah, there is a part of the hesitant population that you could probably convince to get the vaccine. Having the same old politicians give their same old tired message is not going to work. That's not going to work. I mean, look, in some areas, they're giving $100 and that's working. That just tells you how bad your message is. 803-0930, we'll go to Medina. That's where Ed is. Hey, Ed.
Hey, good morning. I'm kind of joining this conversation, so I don't know what's been discussed, but statistics lie. So I want to know, and they're not telling us, how many kids in school that are actually in school for a five-day week are actually getting COVID and ending up in the hospital? Probably very few.
Well,
it's a percentage-based system, and I agree with you. If you want the vaccine, get the vaccine. I'm not getting it because it is an experimental vaccine, and you have no way to go back against anybody.
No, and you know, you look at the kids, especially down south, who have been in school the whole time, the entire year, since September. If there were those outbreaks that you mentioned, that would have led the news. That's all we would have heard about. So you know that kids that are getting COVID-19, it's not an issue. It's at the most a mild case. And we were told the number one problem was them passing it to an at-risk individual. And we are seeing the results of that in Georgia, in Florida, and in Texas, where they've been going to school, some without masks, and you're not seeing the issues that we still are, I guess, thinking we're going to see in New York if we go any further than 6 feet apart.
If the politicians were so convinced that this vaccine, which, by the way, now they're pushing this mutant theory, I'm not going to get the vaccine, but those of you who did get it are going to have to get revaccinated with a mutant vaccine. If they're so convinced it works, take it off the experimental table, put an actual okay on it, and let people sue the vaccine manufacturers.
And Ed, you know, Pfizer is taking the first step of trying to get that full approval. We'll see the other two. I appreciate the phone call. And this is something Brian and I talked about yesterday where, yeah, there's going to be different variants. So far, those variants seem to be stopped by the vaccine. But you look at the flu. Every year when you get a flu shot, you're getting different strands of the flu. I mean, that's why the flu is still prevalent in those months during flu season, is because it changes. It's a different strand, a different variant. And obviously that's what's going to happen with COVID-19. And I think the health professionals have done a good job to keep people alert, to keep people aware. And in a lot of states, the next month, hey, we have vaccines. You want them? Come and get them. We're not staying closed down. And we're not going to force your college kids to get the vaccine, and we're not going to force high school and middle school kids to get the vaccine. You know the risks. You know the vaccine's there. And we'll go on. State by state, we're doing that. We're seeing it in Illinois starting next month. We're seeing it in Nevada. Eventually, that's going to be the message. In the states that don't want that message, well, more and more people are going to leave. Or the states that want to force people to make a decision based on anything else but their choice, people are going to leave. And we're seeing that here. And when you now want to say, hey, and we'll see. I'm not saying this has happened or it's going to happen. But if the next move is your high school child has to be vaccinated to go back to school, I think we're going to have reasonable problems with that. And again, you see the point I'm trying to make here. The people we have calling in, a lot of them themselves have been vaccinated. They're just not ready to give that vaccination to their younger child. But they're not anti-vaccine. They're none of that. That's what I've been trying to illustrate. They're not anti-vaxxers. They have the vaccine. Their loved ones around them have the vaccine. They're just not ready to give their child a vaccine. And that is reasonable. And I don't accept anything else, but that is a reasonable explanation and a reasonable reasoning of why to wait and see, especially when we're talking about I say 12 to 21. I don't know what you say, but I say 12 to 21, very reasonable. If those who are high risk are vaccinated, why not pump the brakes? Let's wait and see. When we come back, we're talking cars with Lauren Fix. I don't know much about cars, but Lauren will be here for her weekly segment, 803-0930, if you'd like to get on the phone with her. That is next on WBEN.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.